John Paul Morosi is our MLB insider and analyst, and he's with us at 8 o'clock each and every Monday morning here on Leadoff. And today is no different. Good morning, sir. It's been a bit of a challenging, week or so in your nation, and we are certainly experiencing it here too. I hope that you and your family are well. How are you feeling, John, about everything that we're witnessing here over the last, 96, 120 hours or so?
Well, good morning. It's been difficult, certainly, and we try to juxtapose the days that we spend now in the days of the pandemic with family, and I'm trying to engage as much as I can with my three kids and have those moments of light and joy, and then they go to bed and you turn on the news and it's hard to believe and it's heartbreaking. Your heart goes out to most importantly the family of Mr. Floyd and all that his loved ones have gone through, and then your heart goes also to those that are protesting and doing so peacefully with their hearts and hoping for their voices to be heard, and then finally you hope for peace, and that's I think that's where it really is surreal to watch these images of cities that I have visited. Of course, there have been some closer to home here in Michigan and in different areas around the state, but it breaks your heart every single time the news will cut away to a new city and you see the despair that is there and you think, well, I've stayed at that hotel that's right by there. I've covered a ball game in that stadium, and it's just very disconcerting, I think, for every American, every person around the world to watch what's transpired. And my hope, as an American, someone who's been really fortunate to be born in this country and to really enjoy a lot of blessings in my life, is that we just have to hope that I think people in my country really take a serious look at citizenship and what it means to truly be part of communities and a country and care for those around us. And I think that the words that we heard of Jalen Rose a moment ago, I think we're very apt that we have to really, as a country and as a culture, dial in to the lives of those around us and just see people and not the color of someone's skin, not what the initial perception may have been of someone years ago, but really just to see the people. And I think that's what has to happen now, and I'm going to be optimistic and hope that it occurs here in the days ahead, but it's going to have to start with empathy and leadership, certainly, and my hope is that we find it.
Very well put. The hope for peace with the hope for opportunity and equality for all. With John Paul Morosi, Leadoff's MLB insider and analyst, doing work with Fox Sports, the MLB network. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So, John, I occasionally use the analogy of a football field to describe a negotiation. And last week, the Major League Baseball owners, the league, put their stake in the ground at their goal line. And over the weekend, Major League Baseball Players Association, the union, offered a counter proposal to that league proposal from last week. And in my analogy, the way I visualize it, they put a stake in the ground at their goal line. So we have two sides 100 yards apart, and we need each to move 50 yards toward each other to meet in the middle or somewhere near the middle. How do you anticipate the owners will react to the proposal for a 114-game season, deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason, and the option not to play for individual players who may wish to sit on the sidelines during this pandemic? How do you think owners will react to this PA proposal?
Well, a couple things. I think number one, the aspect of players not having to play if they obviously have concerns, medical conditions for family. I think that to me should be from an ownership perspective something that they're comfortable giving up, and obviously letting the players have that ability to do so. I also think it was notable that while it was only for a limited amount of the games, that the notion of some salary deferral was part of this latest proposal reportedly from the players, where they'd be willing to defer salary for a certain class of players. I believe Jeff Passan reported that. If they had a certain, if there was a threshold above which the player was earning the salary, if there was no postseason, if there was no World Series to help defray some of those immediate cash concerns on the part of owners. So that part, the first part, I would say, owners are going to have to be comfortable with some players not playing simply because of the overall circumstances, health concerns, et cetera. And then I think on the other side, owners should view favorably the fact that players were willing to defer some of their money if there is no World Series, because that is one of the owners' greatest concerns, that they're paying out a lot of money and without knowing what the ultimate revenue will be because of the lack of a World Series. I think that the rest of it becomes a question of how far and how willing are the sides to meet in the middle, at the 50, to use your analogy, Scott, because clearly the player's last proposal suggests that they believe they're in a strong position, that they are not of the mind to compromise much in terms of what those salaries will be. And now it's incumbent on MLB to respond in some fashion. Now, does MLB get a little closer by having a little less of a reduction in percentage of the salaries? Or will the players simply say, we are holding this line and that's it? It's a difficult question to ponder. It's also one that we realize this is strictly, in so many ways, the economic question of what those actual paychecks are going to say this year. I really believe a lot of the issues surrounding it will be settled, and I'm encouraged by the salary deferment that was mentioned in the players' proposal, and I think that they are certainly entitled and comfortable, as they should be, to have protections in there for players that don't feel comfortable playing under the circumstances. That to me is a real baseline situation right now. But it's now a matter of the rest of the negotiation on the money, and I continue to be optimistic that we're going to see it. I thought, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have thought that it would have been done by now. But clearly, there's still a pretty big distance to go, and I think now we have to start to wonder at what point in time, as the negotiations go on, are the timings and the mileposts problematic with respect to getting in at least the 82 games that you want to get in? Because the players' proposal, notably, according to reports, has the regular season going all the way through October, and it really doesn't seem to me that MLB is going to be comfortable going to that level, because they really want to make sure the postseason gets played.
And the thing about the players and their position, when you were talking about, you know, how much cut of their salary should they take? The hard part for the player's standpoint is that, okay, you understand the owners aren't going to make the money they usually make, right? And it's like, okay, well, you should be taking a pay cut. But from the player's standpoint, it's, you're saying, in you know, this is them. This is also agents. Scott Boras, I believe, is even, you know, added to this, is that, well, the players haven't been getting any of these profits or revenues above and beyond of what the league was expecting. Why would they take the loss when the league or the teams are taking a loss? I think that's the question a lot of the players are, and that's the stance actually a lot of the players are taking right now.
Right, and one can understand why that's the case. It's a very natural human request to make in good times or in great times, the the revenues are not or the salaries are not adjusted, let's say, in accordance with that on a real time basis. Whereas this is obviously a different circumstance, and certainly I understand the unique nature of what's going on here in this country and around the world in terms of the incredible economic uncertainty that's being felt everywhere. And that's why I really believe, Mike and Scott, that eventually there will be an agreement, because I think both sides have to see here a couple things. Number one, baseball's window to be a leader, it may have already passed, at least it perhaps has passed to some extent. We've already seen the NHL come out and announce their plans to return to play. And so baseball probably has a month, the month of July, probably, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit less, depending on when actually the NHL begins play. But the baseball's time to really dominate the sports conversation in a positive way is starting to melt away day by day. Time is truly of the essence here. And I know I've said before on a Monday morning that this is a big week, and this clearly has to be one of the biggest weeks, because if you can't get an agreement now, then your ability to play from the very beginning of July is in jeopardy. And that's the time when baseball really should, if it's safe to play, should be the leader and playing and being a key part of the healing around the country in so many different ways. But I also think that if there is not a season, and you heard Jeff Passan's mentioning of the owners that may be comfortable with that notion, I understand that may be true, but there also is that understanding going into the future, where if you shut your business down now, the negative ramifications will be multiplied over the years. And it's similar, frankly, for the players, because if baseball is not played this year, what possibly will free agency look like this coming winter? Which teams are going to be really comfortable and bold in investing on their rosters, and what negative effect would that have on the players in the future? So it really does cut both ways, because players, I think, also have to realize that the multiplier effect in a negative way of spending for years to come if there is no season this year.
With John Paul Morosi, what do you make of the reports that some owners are actually willing to sacrifice the entire season? My first reaction was these are probably some of the small market owners, John, who see, you know, fewer expenses in not playing, especially if their regional television contracts are not as rich in value as some of the larger markets, or some of the larger market teams who actually own their own networks, like the New York Yankees or the Chicago Cubs or the Boston Red Sox, who have a significant investment in NESN. Is this a real feeling permeating through some of the owners, or is this another negotiation tactic, or both?
Right, and I think that's where it could be a bit of both, Scott. And I think that there's, economically speaking, there is no question that it, perhaps in some instances there would be an economic case to be argued to say, hey, let's not play this year, let's limit expenses, and then come back fresh in 2021. I understand economically, from a balance sheet perspective, that may exist for a number of clubs, but I think that the larger question, even if you set aside the sense of national purpose and unity and sort of the argument that baseball has a unique place to across North America to help families get back to a sense of rhythm and normalcy and all that we can do, that's one part of the argument. But the other part is building your brand and building the momentum behind your sport as a part of the national and international healing process. I've mentioned this number sometimes, and I think this is one circumstance when it's apt here, and in which case it is something to be concerned about if you're Major League Baseball. If you compare social media followings, not that really is the most important thing in the world, clearly it's not, but it's one metric. Mookie Betts, who plays for the Dodgers, is a former MVP of the league. His Twitter following is in like the low 200,000s. Okay, there are many athletes across many sports in the U.S. who are not as talented in their profession as Mookie Betts is in his, who have far more, and that has to be a concern for the game long term. And considering where the game is and where we are at, you're starting to lose that cultural market share, if you will. And if you don't play this year, your overall place in the firmament is diminished. And I've often looked at Mookie, what a great player he is, what a great person he is, and I wonder how is this person not more popular in the country right now? And it's a concern for baseball because he has done all the right things. He has played the right way. He brought food to homeless people after a World Series game. He is a tremendous citizen. He's a great player, great person all the way around. And it baffles me how he is not more popular in this country. And that, to me, has to be something that the players, but certainly the owners too, are taking into real consideration here. We've got to find a way to help market our players better, and the way to do that is by getting the game back on the field.